when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good morning and good afternoon, good evening to all our dear, precious Blood River Radio family out there, no matter where you are. We have fans all over the United States. We're not huge, you know, but we have. Let me say this. We don't have fans. We have family members. Either you love us or you hate us. And even if you do hate us, if you hang around long enough, I guess it makes me sound kind of too nice or something. I don't know. But if you hang around long enough and let us pray for you, I think we can convert you over, to becoming a Christian. The only way to become a Christian, though, you know, the Holy Spirit has to come in. You have to do it yourself. But anyway, I'm getting kind of off of a rabbit trail right there. But you're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. This is Blood River Radio. And the date is, let me see, this is the last Saturday of July. In the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty, 2022. We'll say this every show, you know, people, hope you don't get tired of it. In the year of our Lord and Savior, Almighty God, Jesus Christ, God the Son, God the Father, God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. And while I'm on that, there's only one way, folks, to get to escape damnation, and that's you have to accept Jesus Christ. If you believe, I'll tell you what, I'll put it this way. Let the Bible tell you. John 3:16, the very first scripture I ever memorized was John 3:16. And I'll paraphrase it. I think I can get pretty close. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." And people, that is it. That's basically it. Everything else you read in the Bible is just extra. If you believe in your heart and confess with your lips that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised him, that he died on the cross for your sins to take the sins of the world on his shoulders, and he was tortured on earth, he was hung on a tree, tortured miserably, crucified, killed, was buried, and he ascended on the third day. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. If you believe that, that's all you need to be saved. And I don't care what anybody else says. You don't have to belong to a church. I don't care what you name the church. It can be the Mormon church that Sam belongs to. It can be the Jehovah's Witnesses. It can be a Catholic, a Episcopalian, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, any of the number of your alphabet churches. I'll tell you flat out, I don't go to church anymore. They've been so infiltrated. But anyway, I'm getting far-fetched there, people. I've already said this quote scripture, but what we do here in Blood River Radio? We never take a step without saying a prayer. So if you will, bow your heads, whether you're a Christian or not, bow your heads. I'm going to pray for you. All you people, even if you're not a Christian, I'm going to pray for you. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, the God of Eddie Miller and my family, the God of Cameron and his family, dear Cameron, who's working the board tonight. Lord, if you will, I'm always asking you to give us the wisdom and discernment and the courage to fight the battle that you would want us to fight, the wisdom and discernment to know who the enemy is. And Lord, we know who the enemy is. And give us the courage no matter how much criticism we get, no matter how much flack we catch because we name the enemy, and Lord, you know who it is, it's the eternal Jew. The eternal Jew has been the enemy forever and ever. That's why they call him eternal. And he always will be your enemy until he converts over to Jesus Christ Almighty and stops persecuting the chosen. Anyway, Lord, if you will, help the people that are not really believers tonight that are listening to this show, because you know what? Sooner or later, no matter how healthy they are, no matter what they do, they will meet their maker. They will die. And Lord, I don't want to see anybody listening to this show, especially me, and my family, but I don't want anybody to go to hell. I mean, it is miserable what in hell. I mean, that's why they call it hell. But Lord, if you will, please convict them of their sins, prick them in their heart, let them come and confess their sins and to believe in their heart, confess with their lips that Jesus Christ, your son, your only son, is God Almighty, who was raised from the dead, and they shall be saved. Ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear people, like I said, my name is Eddie Miller, and we just said the prayer. Now, listen, also another drill. We always go to, we mention our dear supporters. Biscuit donates every month. He's probably our biggest donor right now, but I called Biscuit this morning. I'll give you a quick aside here. I had dry needle therapy last week. I want y'all people to know who I am, what I am all about. I'm 75 years old. I'm a marathon runner. I ran my last marathon April the 23rd, 17 days after my 75th birthday. I went out with breakaway running today, early this morning. I left my house very early and found out my truck was dead. I had to borrow my wife's car. But I went to Breakaway Running. They're the official training partner for St. Jude Heroes. St. Jude Heroes. I'm a St. Jude Hero. We run marathons, half marathons, what have you, and we do everything we can to raise money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. That's what us racist, homophobe, bigoted Nazis do. We raise money for children with incurable cancer and stuff like that. And as a matter of fact, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is curing over 80% of all the children that come in with cancer. It's cured. We have a survival rate of 4 out of 5 now. But anyway, that's what I did this morning. I had a marvelous run after I had to have dry needle therapy last week on my left calf. Hey, man, I ran like a pro today. Knocked out that 13-miler. And next week I'll probably do 14 and a half to 16. Anyway, so much for that, people. That's who I am. We're all human fear, flesh and blood. We're just like you. But I'm going to tell you one damn thing. There's one thing that separates Blood River from every other radio show on the face of the earth. We're not afraid of anybody out there. We're not afraid of the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, all those little satanic SOBs. We have no fear. If they come get us, that's just the way it is. We're going to evangelize over the radio, and we're going to fight for our blood people and for our blood kin. And on our website, it says that if you can go look at it, our website, and it says that our holy mission is to fight against global white genocide. And people, it is in full-blown process right now. Global white genocide, it's wide open. Our poster child for global white genocide is in South Africa. You've probably heard all this before. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something. We had a guest scheduled tonight, Mr. Charles Strange. He's the father of his Michael Strange, who was supposedly on SEAL Team 6. Thanks to Peter Scoop Stanton, our friend, when I was with the political cesspool and James Edwards, Peter Scoop Stanton used to call me golly a long time ago, 04, 05. I'm telling you why I'm kind of going along right now. He'd call in. He was our foreign correspondent. He would call. He was still in the Navy then, and he would call in from Rota, Spain. Well, he asked me, I get this guy on the radio because this is what Scoop sent me. He was Michael, the son, was on SEAL Team 6, and he was part of supposedly the Bin Laden Rodden raid. I personally think that Bin Laden had been dead for quite a while because he was on dialysis forever. A long time. He died. He was dead. Anyway, supposedly Scuttlebutt was the propaganda from the government was, oh, I forgot who the hell was the president then. It was baby boy Bush, I think. But they sent him over, there, SEAL Team 6, and they killed old bin Laden. You know, he's the right hand of the Satan. But get this, SEAL Team 6, they were on a helicopter, and it went down with a number of the SEALs, and they were all killed. That's what happens when you go in helicopters. Well, Mr. Strange, the dad and the mother, they wanted some answers. They went to the Congress. Of course, they got kicked out. They couldn't get a congressional hearing. They could get no investigation. But the strangers, they kept asking questions and pestering their authorities. And guess what? The feds came after them and tried to put pressure on them to shut them up. They had to go to, but they wouldn't back down. They had to go to a court. They went to federal court. And to get information, the court ordered the NSA to give them the information they wanted. I doubt seriously, I'll bet you $50 to a donut that they didn't give them the information. They probably fed them a bunch of crap. But anyway, Scoop said that it was a very emotional show. And we wanted to come on, and just like we did with the sailors of USS Liberty, we want to publicize this because I've heard a lot about this, but I think the reason they killed those guys is because they were going to spill the beans. There was no such thing as them killing bin Laden. And people, the same thing happened with Pat Tillman. Hey, we'll talk about Pat Tillman when we come back because we can't reach Mr. Strange right now, but that's okay. We're just going to roll with the flow. Be right back after this brief commercial, folks.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Well, dear people, the old Baba Deer, you're going to get a lot of Baba Deer tonight because, listen, let me tell you the story. Before I go back to Pat Tillman, Rand Owen and Gene Andrews are... They're not MIA. I know where they are. They're down in Selma, Alabama, and they're having a big. And also, James Edwards is down there. They're having a big. I think the way I understood it, this big honorary thing dedication to none other than General Nathan Bedford Forrest. And you know how special Nathan Bedford Forrest is to Memphis. Memphis was kind of his home after he left Chapel Hill, Tennessee. Once he got grown, and if you've been around this show very long, you'll know that no one on earth knows more about Lincoln's war against the South than Gene Andrews, the bitter ender. The bitter ender with the bloody sword. So he's down there. He's giving a talk. James is giving a talk. Rand went down there with this 80-something-year-old gentleman. That's only about 10 years older than me. But he went down there because this 86-year-old gentleman got him in the league. And plus, they used to coon hunt a lot. And so anyway, they're down there. Miss Monica, she's still on break. She had to take off to do a lot of stuff, so she's not around. So it's just Eddie, the Bombardier Miller, and we have no guests. We had one guest scheduled, but we can't reach him. And like I told you, I just told you who he was. But anyway, we'll go back and talk about Pat Tillman a little bit. Pat Tillman, he wasn't one of my heroes, but he was naive. He was a professional football player, making good money. I believe he was a defensive back. And you could tell looking at him, but he was a stud hoss. Anyway, right in the prime of his career, he joined the United States Army Rangers, and he went over to Afghanistan. Well, when he got there, he found out some things he didn't like. He found out, get this now, the Army Rangers are an elite group. You people probably know that. They're one of the most elite fighting forces. They're light, strictly light infantry, but they're airborne qualified and all kind of stuff like that. And you got to be a stud hoss to be in the Army Rangers. I can tell you I've known some. I wasn't a Ranger. I was a proud friggin' draftee and a combat medic. So I was not, didn't have no desire to be a Ranger. Anyway, Pat Tillman went over there and he found out his group, they were guarding poppy fields. That's all they were doing. You see, the wicked old Al-Qaeda. Let's see. And before they had Al-Qaeda, they had a group. I'm trying to think of it. It was the... Let's see. They were the Mujahideen. The Mujahideen, the way I get it now, I'm not an expert on that, but the Mujahideen back in the 70s, in the 80s, in the early 90s, they kind of morphed, I think, into what they call al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, etc. Well, see, those evil Muslims, those evil terrorists, they were burning the opium fields and plowing them under. Because guess what, people? They didn't want their people to get hooked on heroin. I have a medical background, you people might know. But you see, you take morphine is a derivative of the opium poppies. Opium, of course, opium comes from the opium poppies, but morphine is a derivative. And then you have other drugs that are like derived from the opium poppies. And derived from morphine, that are much more powerful than the plain morphine. You know, morphine. I had pharmacology a long time, eons ago. We had two instructors that came over from the University of Tennessee. I went to the University of Memphis, and I graduated. I've always done everything late. I graduated from the University of Memphis with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. Well, I already had experience as a combat medic. Experiences of phlebotomist, did some lab tech stuff on the side, OJT lab tech. Back in those days, you could do that. But anyway, we had two pharmacists that came over from the University of Tennessee. One of them was a Dr. Stick, little bitty guy, about 5'4" or 5". He had been a dentist in the past, but he said that still to that day, that was back in that day I'm talking about, was 1992. He was a dentist, and he said that morphine was his painkiller of choice. That was pretty much what he considered the prototype. And we had another doctor, I can't remember his name, another doctor from UT. They switched out. They played tag team. But anyway, getting back to Pat Tillman, he said he made the fatal mistake. You see, he was really well known, and he had plenty of money. You know, all football players do, professional. So he told his buds, hey, man, I'm going to get back to the States pretty soon, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get an audience with the Congress. I'm going to get my congressman, and I want to go to the congressional committee, and I'm going to tell them just what's going on over here in Afghanistan, and probably the same thing in Pakistan, and all those Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, all those stands, but mainly where he was Afghanistan. They were doing the poppies, and he told the people that it's what he's going to do. Well, guess what happened to Mr. Pat Tillman? A lot of people might know this. he got shot point blank range. And the authorities said it was an accidental shooting, a mistaken identity. Well, get this, people. I've been around firearms since I was 5 years old. It really did. I started shooting a little 22 when I was 5 years old. I shot my first shotgun when I was about 5.5 years old. It was a Browning Sweet 16, a Browning automatic shotgun Sweet 16. And it knocked me. It busted my lip, bled, knocked me down. I didn't want to shoot it again. I threw the gun down. My dad wasn't a hardcore. He said, man, you ought to pick it up and try it again. So I did. He coached me better. It didn't bust my lip anymore. So rest is history. I was an avid hunter, a fanatic hunter. Used to skip school, skip work to go hunting. But anyway, so I know all about guns. And the point I'm getting ready to make, Pat Tillman had powder burns on his face. The fellow who did the autopsy has probably had to take a dirt nap since he let that get out. You know, you don't let things like that. But Pat Tillman was shot point blank intentionally because he was going to come back and tell the American people what was going on in Afghanistan. But people, that's nothing. I'm going to relate some other tales to you. I hope I'm not boring you to death. But some people don't have any guests. You're stuck with me. Back there in Vietnam, that was back in my day, it makes me almost want to cry. You never get over some of this stuff. There was dope coming out by the tons, by the C-130 shipping dope back to the States. We could get dope free. You could buy dope over there cheaper than you could buy whiskey. The guys would buy enough hashes. You may not have heard, and I'm getting to the point of the story. The hashes would come anywhere from the size of my, look at my little finger, a little stick of hashies. Some people call it hashies, some people call it hashes. A lot of people in the States probably don't know what it was. It smells, if you ever smelt it, it smells real similar to marijuana. I've heard that it's hashies, that hashies is to marijuana, the marijuana plant, what morphine is to the opium plant. It's a derivative. It's the hashies, and the hashies is more potent. And it was the soldiers, almost every swinging ding dong in my unit, and any pick your unit in the Vietnam, and they were or even in the stateside, they were all the drug usage was probably worse than it is now. It's horrible now, but anyway, the point I'm getting ready to make, in Vietnam, they would put all kinds of drugs, not just hashish and dope, but they would our government loves the veterans so much. They love our soldiers so much. They would, the dead guys, you never get over seeing dead people, folks. I tell you, I don't care how old you get. But they would give some dope and marijuana, what have you. They would put it in the coffin with the corpses that they were sending back to the States. That's one of the ways that they would get the drugs back into the States. And I've heard later on they got so bold, they just had whole C-130s coming back to the States with dope. And we may get to touch on Mena, Arkansas in a minute if we tell you where some of those C-130s went. Anyway, well, you had another friend, and listen, I'm shifting gears, but this is on the same note. The dope in Vietnam. We all went to Vietnam for the same reason we went to Korea, was to stop the godless communists. We wanted to go over and stop the communists, man. That's what we wanted to do. But anyway, we went over there. Our government wouldn't dare deal with dope on purpose, because they don't care anything about dope or money. You know, we don't have any sodomites and Satan worshiping pedophiles in our government. We know they're all pure Christians. The sorry sons of bitches, bless their heart. But anyway, back when I was with James in the political cesspool eons ago, we used to get this guy come out. His name was Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz. And he would come on. Well, folks, I can't believe we've gone to our second break already. So hold on. By the way, if Nancy hits out there, you can call in when you want to, Nancy. We got room for you. But if not, people are going to have to listen to me. We'll be right back here to the second break, folks. Hold on to your seats.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden has tested positive for COVID-19 again. His positive test result happened 3 days after he tested negative for the virus on Tuesday and Wednesday. The White House says it is a rare rebound case following treatment with an antiviral drug. White House physician Kevin O'Connor said in a letter that the president has experienced no reemergence of symptoms and continues to feel quite well. Biden will re-enter isolation for at least 5 days. Some residents have returned to their homes in eastern Kentucky to begin the cleanup after floods devastated the region. Rachel Padden tells Sky News what it was like to escape danger.
We had to swim out, and it was cold. It was over my head, so yeah.
At least 25 people, including 4 children, have died. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear says the number of fatalities would likely go up. This is USA Radio News.
Guys, what's the first thing you notice when you look at a photo of yourself? If you said your receding hairline or bald spot, Keeps can help you change that. Keeps has clinically proven FDA-approved hair treatments available online. Whether you're looking to prevent hair loss, stimulate hair growth, or take care of the hair you have, your Keeps physician will help you select the right products and develop a personalized hair-saving routine that works for you. It's easy. No waiting rooms or pharmacy visits. Keeps is delivered straight to your door at about half the cost. Half the cost. And if you have questions, you can message your Keeps doctor 24/7. If those balding jokes are wearing thin, join thousands of guys who have saved their hair. Visit Keeps.com/Doug Steffen for 50% off your first order. That's KEEPS.com/Doug Steffen. Keeps.com/Doug Steffen.
More than 50 Ukrainian prisoners of war were killed and another 75 were wounded in an attack in a separatist-controlled area of eastern Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia are blaming each other for the deaths of the POWs. According to Ukrainian officials, the Kremlin launched nighttime attacks. The International Red Cross is asking to visit the prison to ensure that the wounded had proper treatment. Free Speech Systems, the company owned by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, filed for bankruptcy on Friday. Details about the actual bankruptcy were not immediately available, but his attorney says it will not disrupt his trial in Austin, Texas, which just wrapped up its first week of testimony. The family of one of the children killed in the Sandy Hook school shooting back in 2012, they went to court to force Jones to pay them $150 million for defamation. Wall Street closed out Friday and July with its best month since November 2020. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Well, welcome back, Blood River Radio audience. I'm so glad you're here today. I said a tiny little prayer just a few seconds before we came back for all of our people out there that are listening. You know, that's just part of me. I couldn't run. I couldn't do what I do without prayer. I mean, it's a miracle, the fact, what I can do because I'm 75 years old. I'm still doing marathons. I was 65 when I started. But anyway, going back to what I was talking about, I think I talked about Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreit before we went to the break. Well, back years ago, I'll kind of backtrack. I think I said this earlier, but I like to backtrack. I was with the political cesspool. Me and James were really new. The cesspool was really young then, because we were a lot younger then, too. I think I was only 58 or 59 years old. Man, I was a young buck, and we had a radio station. I got to tell you about the radio station before we tell you about James Bo. And we had our radio station. We called it the Bean Field. And it was on, the reason we called it the Bean Field, you know what? Because it was in a bean field. And the bean field ran right up to the Wolf River bottoms. And I tell you, there were some beautiful river bottoms. It wasn't quite as swampy as the Hatchie River bottoms. No, the Hatchie River bottoms, I've been told, has been designated. It's the only true swamp river. And it's the only true swamp river in the state of Tennessee. And I'm getting distracted because Nancy Hitt's trying to call my phone. But anyway, I'm getting back to our radio station. Okay, our radio station butted right up, the bean fields butted right up against the Wolf River. And that's where we first got Lieutenant Colonel Bo Greitz to call in, and along with Officer Jack McLam, they were buddies. And I'm going to tie this up with the Vietnam just to mention, y'all, and the drugs, and the Afghanistan and the drugs, and all these other Gastans and the drugs, and Mena, Arkansas and the drugs. Well, James Bo Greitz was he was the most highly decorated Green Beret soldier in Vietnam. I mean, he had, you name it, he had it. The guy, he was a soldier extraordinaire. You would never know it by talking to him. He was very brilliant, very intelligent man. Well, see, he started getting wise to what was going on, what the war in Vietnam was all about. It took him a little longer to wise up, I guess, than a lot of people, because one reason, I believe he was semi-orphan. I don't believe he had his dad. See, my dad told me what the war was all about, but he couldn't get me from getting drafted. My dad was in the Pacific World War II. I came back a pagan. He lost his faith there. But anyway, James Bo, he said after the war, his big thing was, if you see these black flags with the white pictures of soldiers or humans, the MIA, I'm telling you about the MIA, the missing in action. He went back to Vietnam, Cambodia, Burma, the triangles over there, looking for POWs. That had been captured, because the scuttlebutt here in the United States was that there was hundreds, if not thousands, of American soldiers had been captured by the communists during the Vietnam War and were still being held captives. And get this, folks, it wasn't just hearsay. It was true. The same thing happened, people, in Korea. The same thing happened, people, in World War II, Second World War, when our United States government, the Sodom of the Potomac, made a deal going all the way back to Uncle Joe Stalin. Hell, it probably happened in First World War. But Uncle Joe Stalin took, God only knows how many hundreds of Americans, captured American soldiers. You know, when they captured the Germans after the end of World War II, the Germans had their POWs, the American POWs, the Italians, not the Italian, the French and the British, and they carried them the whole shebang back to Russia. They worked a lot of them to death. Probably most of them they worked to death, and with the full blessing of the United States government. Yes, sir. Kind of despise this government. But anyway, see, James Bo Greitz went back from World War II and Uncle Joe, going back to James Bo Greitz in Vietnam. He went back to the area I just got through describing to you to see one of his friends. He had a friend named General Kum Saul. He was a Burmese general. And they fought side by side. They were collaborated on some missions, General Kum Saul and Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz, during the Vietnam War. And he went back. He wanted to get this general to help him, General Kum Saul, to help him locate some of these POWs. Well, much to the disgust of Lieutenant James Bo Greitz, he found out that General Kum Saul was a gigantic drug dealer. Now, he was, you might say, that I guess you'd call it the wholesaler, because General Kum Saul was bringing drugs out, but with donkeys, through these kind of, you know, swampy, and they had some, what we call the Central Highlands over there in Vietnam, and they had highlands over there in camp. I never was in Burma, but they had had some rough terrain over there, and they would bring the dope out with donkeys. But he didn't have one or two donkeys. He had a whole, he had trains of them. And Colonel Greitz got onto him. He said, "Man, you upset me so bad. I cannot believe you turned into a drug dealer. You were this great moral soldier. We fought shoulder to shoulder in special ops." You know, Greitz was a Green Beret. They went on these special missions, you know, stuff like that. And anyway, he said, "Well, let me show you something, James. I thought you were a smarter guy, you know, than you are. You're accusing me of being this." I'm just telling you, kind of paraphrasing what Colonel Greitz said when he came on our show. "You're accusing me of being this low down, you know, drug dealer with no morals and all this stuff. Let me. I'm going to take you back to our camp. I'm going to show you some things." So he took Colonel Greitz back to camp. Colonel Greitz, trying to cooperate because he thought he would find some of these POW camps. And he thought that, his friend, the General Kumsal, would help him. Anyway, but General Kumsal took him back to one of his camps out in the middle of the jungle. He opened up his ledgers, his books for Colonel Greitz. And I wished I could remember all the names, but I know there was high people in the State Department. Shocker, Colonel Greitz said, Pappy Bush. Pappy Bush's name was involved there. I wish I could remember the name of the other guy who was in the State Department. But in other words, what I'm trying to tell you, some of the highest ranking government officials in the United States of America were bringing this dope in via through General Kumsal. Now nowadays, if I hadn't seen it or heard anything, I hadn't heard from Colonel Greitz in years. I don't know if he's in hiding or what, but his right hand man. Officer Jack McLamb, though, he died. He was. I'll tell you a story about Officer Jack McLamb and Colonel Greitz in a minute, if I don't forget, and a big part they played in during Waco, when our wonderful government went in and killed. I think they killed 86 Branch Davidians, men, women, children, suckling children, and they killed them all. And they burned them alive and all that stuff. But anyway, well, I'll get to that story in just a minute. But anyway, before Colonel Greitz got back out of, before they got back out of the jungles, Colonel Greitz said the United States government already knew that he was there. They had these listening devices. They knew everything that he had said. Pretty much. I remember Colonel Greitz telling us on James's show, the political suspect, Colonel Greitz described it as a type of vacuuming type. It would vacuum sound up. It's way beyond my head. I mean, I can't even figure out the damn computer. But when he got back, it was like a hit. He was on his hit list. And get this. What a shocker. Old man Bush had him put in prison. He was in prison in the northeast somewhere, with a bunch of blacks, mostly blacks, and some of them from Africa. I don't know how the Africans got there, but he was trying to teach the Africans, some of them, Swahili, because James Boak Rice, very smart guy. One of the things he knew how to do, he was trained in foreign languages, and many of these special ops guys are, you know, Rangers, Green Berets, SEALs, what have you. But anyway, he got out of there. He survived, you know, intact. He thank God he wasn't executed. But they tried many other times. They tried to the Bushes tried to bump him off many times. As a matter of fact, you may not know this, and I'm going to try to tie all this together, people. This is just information I've been knowing for about 30 years, and since we don't have a guest, I'm trying to entertain you a little bit. And it all, listen, believe it or not, this all ties in with a global white genocide, because just like the Jews and but the protocols, the elders of Zion, Biscuit, we were talking about that this morning about 3:30. Anyway, folks, hang on. We'll go back and continue up what I've been talking with this last segment. And I think Nancy Hitt wants to call me in. So we'll be right back, people, after this last segment, after this last commercial.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear people, thank you so much for hanging on. Tried to get in touch with Nancy during the break. She was trying to call me while I was on the show. Anyway, folks, I'm going to try to finish this up a little bit, and I hope I'm not boring you. This is just ancient history, but it happened. Anyway, if I can go back, remember, I was talking about the Bushes when I finished, you know, how they tried to kill Colonel Greitz, and God only knows how many people they've killed. Probably not as many as the Clintons. Matter of fact, I had a book, I think I gave it to Lee Cochran. It's called The Mysterious Death of Vince Foster. There's pages after pages of the people that the damn Clintons killed. I hope I live long enough to see them brought to justice. Probably never will. Anyway, old man Bush had this oil company. I'm going back. I'm going to try to tie all this together before the end of this segment. Old man Bush had this oil company. The name of the oil company was the Zapata Oil, if memory serves. I mean, we're going back like hell to 2004 when it was with the cesspool. Zapata Oil, and they had these oil derricks out in the Gulf of Mexico. If you remember, we had Mark Tomeo, and I believe it was last week, and he was talking about all these, him and Gene were talking about all these hundreds of oil derricks they have in the Gulf of Mexico. I think most of them off the coast of Louisiana. Probably some off, I don't know, maybe Corpus Christi. I don't know if that's in the Gulf or not. But anyway, this particular oil derrick, they weren't involved in just pumping oil, folks. Guess what they were involved in? Hey, think back what we've been talking about since we started. Our wonderful government smuggling that good old dope to the United States of America. And they also were listing posts, and they were doing communications with Cuba, with good old Uncle Fidel Castro, the dad of the fellow, I can't remember his name, the guy who's, what's his name, Trudeau up there in Canada, the little communist bastard that he is. That's what they were doing. And not only that, they were, get this, people, guess with Zapata Oil, after Pappy Bush kind of halfway gave up that, the oil business, and turned it over to his son. Incidentally, his son was a Son Boy Bush was a failure at every damn thing. He tried to take over the oil company, and he went belly up, and he made a deal. I'm going to say Osama bin Laden's family. I know it was some of the Saudis. They were the ones that bailed the Bushes out, their oil company that failed. But here's what I'm getting to. Pappy Bush became head of the what? Can you name it? Was he, before he became the president, before he became vice president to the Saint Reagan, he was head of the, anybody know? CIA. Became head of the CIA. Okay, let's talk about the CIA here. Let's talk about the CIA, Pappy Bush, drugs, the Clintons, drugs, the White House, drugs, the State Department, drugs, military intelligence, drugs, human trafficking, pedophilia, Satan worship. Okay, let's go back to, we're going to link the CIA up. Remember, all this is drugs, people. We've been talking about for almost an hour. Okay, there was a fellow, see if I can remember his name. He wrote for the San Diego Mercury newspaper, San Diego Mercury Star. This is going back a long time ago. I think I'll probably remember his name in a minute. But he spent almost 2 years researching, get to San Diego, last time I checked this in California, he spent about 2 years researching where the drugs were coming in to South Los Angeles. Los Angeles, Los Angeles became just a drug hell. Well, I've got to think of his name. He shot, you know what he did? He shot himself in the back of the head with a shotgun, I think twice. But anyway, he wrote these papers after his research, big research project that lasted about 2 years, called Dark Alliance. I think you can probably go, I don't know if you can get the books that may be taken down, but you can probably still go get research papers either on Dark Alliance. What he found out was the CIA, United States Black Ops, they were bringing in drugs into South Los Angeles. And I like, this is kind of like what I kind of coined my term here. You may have heard of the Crips and the Bloods. They used to be huge, big gangs. I don't know if they're still around or not, but the Crips and the Bloods were bad news back in the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, especially, you know, when the old man Pappy Bush was head of the CIA. They were bringing the dope in there. And I said, well, you know what? The CIA is like it's like General Motors. Now, General Motors, they manufacture automobiles, right? And trucks, what have you. But they don't have, the General Motors per se, they don't have dealerships. They have other private people to manufacture, to sell their vehicles, their trucks and cars, etc. Well, the CIA, they don't send their agents out on the street. You don't see CIA agents out on the street selling dope. They don't have places where you can go to a dope dealership and buy dope. You don't see CIA dealership number 362. They use other flunkies, hence the Bloods and the Crips. The Bloods and the Crips were like Dodge, Chevrolet, Ford. They were the dealers of drugs on the street. That's where all the dope was coming from. And also, if you're as old as I am, you probably remember the Contras and the Sandinistas down there in Nicaragua. A lot of the dope came out of there. We were trading. It's the same old thing. When Obama was in there, we were. The Obama administration was trading. They were using arms. You name your weapon, full automatic, what have you, machine guns, and they were sending. All kinds of tractor trailer loads of arms across the border into Mexico and bringing back tractor trailer loads of dope back into the United States. That's what went on there. And people, I'm going to tie this up, then we'll bring Miss Nancy in. Fast forward, what about the same time they had this place called Mena, Arkansas? A lot of you older people probably heard of Mena when Slick Willie Clinton was in the, when he was had the governorship of Arkansas, him and Hillary. Anyway, there was this place called Mena, Arkansas. I've been close to it. My mother was raised over in Boonville, Arkansas, which is in the extreme western part of Arkansas, south, right in the Ouachita Mountains. It's a very rugged area. And the Black Ops had an airstrip over there and buildings and stuff. Barry Seals. He was a Green Beret pilot. Of course, he checked their chicken bone. They had to kill him. They were flying right under Clinton's watch. And the scuttlebutt I got, they were paying the governor, Slick Willie Clinton, in dope to keep his mouth shut. At one time, they said you could go to the governorship, and they were, have a lot of officers, professional officers hand out. You go to their office. For instance, you go where my wife used to work, or you go to the dentist, and they got dishes of candy and stuff there. They had the damn dope in plain sight. A lot of this stuff was coming on, coming in there that way. But anyway, folks, dope. God only knows how many people killed in Mena, Arkansas. I could talk another hour about Mena, Arkansas, but listen, before we go to the end of this hour, we're going to bring Miss Nancy in. My big sister, Nancy, she was trying to get in earlier, couldn't, but I hope I didn't bore the hell out of y'all too bad, but we're going to go shift gears and go to a totally different show in just a second segment. So we're going to bring Miss Nancy in now. How you doing, big sister?
Very frustrated. You gave me the wrong numbers, Eddie. I think you were trying to keep me from coming on the program tonight.
Well, I hope. Let's see. Well, you know what? What we'll have to do, we'll have to get Mr. Cameron. I pulled up the number I had on my cell phone for the show, the call-in show. We'll have to get that. We'll get that number straightened out, and we'll make sure Mr. Buddy has that number. I'll call him during the week. I'll tell you what, we'll give the number out. We'll give it out right now. Mr. Cameron, what's the, give me the number right quick, the right number. 208-216-6100. So anybody, pardon me, I gave out the wrong number. If you want to call into the show, we got a few minutes before we go to break. Here's the number. 208-216-6100. I'm going to give it out one more time because I'm slow. Here's the number. 208-216-6100. Okay, we've got Miss Nancy. We're getting ready to go to break, but why don't you give the people? We still got a few more minutes. Why don't you tell the people what we're going to be talking about in the second hour?
Yeah. Okay. The topic is going to be anti-white bias, which comes from the media and the politicians, and also about self-hating whites, how they act on behalf of blacks and Jews, and how they prefer often to side with the what we might call the enemy. And we've got a lot of evidence of that in the past. Unfortunately, people are not maybe studying these issues close enough to realize that we're being bamboozled on a daily basis about black crime. And it's really epidemic, but the way that black criminals are treated is very different than the way whites are treated. If they had done the same crime, let's put it that way, there would have been an outrageous, outpouring, unending media blast that would just be continuous for decades. If whites had done the same thing that blacks have done in the past to their white victims, that's kind of partly mainly what we're going to cover, I think.
You know, and since we got a minute, probably another minute, and I'll just preface that or come in behind you. And people, everything Miss Nancy said is true, and I'm going to tell you why it's true. It's the same thing, the same thorn in our side that is causing us to be persecuted and hounded and put in jail for no reasons, us white people, and these feral Negro animals being turned loose and actually sicked on us. You know what? It's the same thing. It's always the Jews all the time. It's always the Jews all the time. The Jew. They run the banking systems. They run the penal systems. They own our Congress. They own the media. They own Hollywood. They own the banks. They own everything, and they hate us. They want mm-hmm. to kill us. Mm-hmm. It's in print. Now, I just want to get that in there, Miss Nancy. That's our that's who controls the problem. Back to you, Miss Nancy.
Well, that I think where we how we got on this topic to begin with was we were talking about, and we won't go into detail before the next hour, but about the crime that was committed, a very heinous crime that was committed in Knoxville, and in which I participated mainly as an observer to a white protest against the blacks who. It was not going to be called a hate crime. That's why we were protesting.
Well, Miss Nancy helped us say that because we're going to end this hour. We're transitioning after we're going to have a little pretty nice little break, and we'll open up with the second hour. And if we're going to turn, it's going to be all Miss Nancy, my big sister. People, hold on. We're going to bring my big sister, Miss Nancy, back, and we're completely changing gears. Be right back.